Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we discover early films from some well-known stars. I hope you enjoy the show. We've all seen those before and after photos of film stars and what they look like now, and it can be very, very unflattering. What's definitely more interesting is to look at films they made before they hit the big time. These films tend to be neglected, but are sometimes well worth watching and surprisingly good. Let's begin with Christopher Walken, who appeared in The Anderson Tapes with Sean Connery in 1971. It's directed by Sidney Lumet and describes a heist. Connery, on release from prison, is anxious to get back to work and talks the mob into bankrolling a job for him. Christopher Walken plays the fresh-faced youngster in the gang, and it's his first major picture. It's a great film, made when Connery had left the Bond role behind, together with the toupee, and showed there was more to him than just James Bond. Sidney Lumet shows his craft, and Martin Balsam and Diane Cannon also co-star. The scenes between Walken and Connery are the pick of the bunch. Funnily enough, when they were shooting in New York, a mob funeral actually drove through a scene, and attendees were concerned that their faces might have been caught on camera. Quincy Jones provides an enigmatic score.
Thank you.
Now let's take a look at Secret People, made in 1952 and directed by Tyrol Dickinson. It's a gritty espionage drama based in England prior to World War II and features quite a lot of the fledgling Audrey Hepburn as one of a pair of sisters whose past catches up with them. Their father, a professor, presumably in Eastern Europe, sends them to his best friend, who now lives in London and is running a cafe. The elder sister is played by Valentina Cortez, and on a weekend trip to Paris, they run into her ex-lover, Louis, there for a trade fair. Serge Reggiani as Louis adds a certain authenticity to the whole thing, and whenever he's on screen, the film works. Audrey Hepburn plays a dancer, and she really could dance. Worth watching this just for Reggiani alone. Now on to Sean Connery himself, who made a few films before he got the Bond role, and most of them are pretty good. No Road Back, from 1957, is a British movie directed by Montgomery Tully, in which Connery, in only his second film role, plays a stuttering accomplice in a criminal gang. Alfie Bass is also in the gang in a rare straight role. The gang is run by a blind and deaf woman who runs a nightclub. All is fine until the boss's son returns unexpectedly from America and discovers what's going on. Connery had remarkable eyebrows when he was a youngster, and if you didn't know he was Scottish, you may think he was from the Himalayas. This film is pretty good and features a robbery accompanied by only a drum beat. It's very effective. Robert De Niro sharpened his teeth in a couple of Brian De Palma's first films, which were comedies. In Greetings, made in 1968, De Niro and his friends run around New York, avoiding the draft and trying to pick up girls. There's a running plotline about computer dating, which is novel for the time, and throughout, De Palma shows a gift for pacing, editing and writing, and peddles an interesting theory about the Kennedy assassination. It's all delivered with tongue firmly in the cheek.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Wouldn't you like to go away? Greetings, greetings, greetings. Come and see me, don't delay. Spend a day or two with Uncle Sam. Greetings, greetings, greetings. Coming to make a small request. Greetings, greetings.
Years earlier, Jack Nicholson was cutting his teeth on a horse in two Monty Hellman westerns, Ride in the Whirlwind and The Shooting. They were made back-to-back and both are well-made minimalist films. I enjoyed the first one more than the second. Nicholson and two friends get involved by accident in a shootout between a posse and a gang of no-gooders, led by Harry Dean Stanton, no less. Things get worse when the posse believes them to be part of the gang. Cameron Mitchell is excellent as Nicholson's pal. The script was written by Nicholson and is well crafted. It was shot in 3 weeks and took a year to edit.
Thank you.
A few years later, in 1974, Monty Hellman made Cockfighter, in which Warren Oates plays a trainer of fighting cocks in the Deep South. Oates is fabulous in the role. Harry Dean Stanton also stars. Oates provided Hellman with a great canvas for character portrayal, and he turned to him again in his most famous film, Two Lane Blacktop. Cockfighter was produced by Roger Corman, and he went to great lengths to market the film as something it wasn't, a blood and guts action film. As a result, it became a neglected classic. Now let's go all the way back to 1931 for Bad Sister, in which Betty Davis made her screen debut, playing opposite Sydney Fox as two sisters. Also making an appearance in his fourth picture was Humphrey Bogart, as a con artist and a dodgy suitor for Bette Davis. I'm afraid Sydney Fox steals the show with her naughtiness showing through all the way, and it just goes to show that actors always prefer the shady characters to the purer ones. Bogart and Davis would end up making seven films together. Next in our spotlight is Natalie Wood, who at the age of 8 years old managed to act Orson Welles off the screen in Tomorrow is Forever, an intense wartime drama directed by Irving Pichel in 1946. It co-starred Claudette Colbert and George Brent. Natalie Wood plays Orson Welles' adopted daughter, and does she do well? It's a well-put-together weepy, and if you can last the distance, you won't be disappointed. Thank you. Tommy Lee Jones turns up unexpectedly in Rolling Thunder, a John Flynn-directed thriller from 1977, starring William Devane as a Vietnam veteran who loses his family to a violent home invasion in Middle America. The understated writing is down to Paul Schrader, and its violence reminds me of Sam Peckinpah's style. William Devane is an unlikely leading man, but he does a great job throughout. Especially good is his feeling of alienation when he returns from the war zone.
San Antone, it's really good to see you. It's been a while, but you've been on my mind. I've seen your rolling hills and winding rivers, so clear that I could almost make them mine. I can almost see the old Bandera Highway stretching out toward old Mexico, and the times we used to walk down by the river. Now it seems like such a long, long time ago. San Antone, it's really good to see you. It's been a while, but you've been on my mind. I've been a lot of places, but I think I've always known one day I'd come back to San Antone. Sitting here and looking out the window, thinking just how good things used to be. Well, I might be coming back to only memories. Oh, but San Antone, you sure look good to me.
Gary Oldman appears in a Mike Leigh film, Meantime, in 1983, with Tim Roth and Phil Daniels. It's classic Mike Leigh fare, with Roth and Daniels playing two brothers in a housing estate family. Oldman plays a violent local skinhead called Coxie, who befriends the brother played by Roth, and it's a ringer for his portrayal of Sid Vicious in Sid and Nancy just 3 years later. Fascinating to see these three actors together in a TV movie.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
finally, let's take a look at The Count of the Gamla Stan from 1935. It's a Swedish film which would be forgotten if not for the fact that a certain 19-year-old girl called Ingrid Bergman appears in it. It's a French-style comedy drama looking at the characters that live and work at a hotel in the Gamla Stan, that's the old town of Stockholm. Not many people realise that this part of Stockholm is perfectly preserved from when it was built in 1252. There's a lot of activity by the unemployed characters in the film to secure illegal booze, as there was a state-controlled liquor store back then, which is still in force these days. If you weren't employed, you didn't get a liquor ration book. Ingrid shines, and there's a particularly charming scene between her and a prospective suitor on her windowsill one evening. It's obvious the camera adored her, and this was 8 years before she appeared in Casablanca. And there you have it, some fascinating early moments from some of your favourite actors and actresses. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I'll leave you with a delightful Swedish song from The Count from the Gamla Stan.
Ville du bara dra dig till minnes, har du som jag känt någon gång längtan som drömmar gav. Efter att få någon att hålla av, en som vill dela allt vad som finnes utan lycka var dag. Som man är kär när man fått den som alla drömmar ström i livet är. I gyllene bojor bindas kärlekens band, den dag man lovar varandra tro och hand. För evigt skall vi en gång det banden knyta, som aldrig någonsin man drömmer om att bryta. Ty gyllene länkar kedja samman de två, som vill mot framtidens blå tillsammans gå. Där borta hegrar en strand, ett lyckans leende land, och vi skall söka det hand i hand. I gyllene bojor bindas kärlekens band, den dag man lovar varandra tro och hand. För evigt skall vi en gång det banden knyta, som aldrig någonsin man drömmer om att bryta. Ty gyllene länkar kedja samman de två, som vill mot framtidens blå tillsammans gå. Där borta hegrar en strand, ett lyckans leende land, och vi ska söka det hand i hand.